Okay, if you're with us for this first segment, we have begun a conversation with dear friend Ken Hicks about church membership. Why is it important? What's its biblical value? And what do we do to make a compelling case for people to become a member of a church? We're going to pick up where we left off and hopefully finish that conversation. So thanks for joining us again today. This is like a perfect time to kind of transition to those compelling reasons. We've already said there is nothing in the Bible that says sign up and be a member
right.
of a church. There's nothing, not even close with that kind of language. But we know that there are compelling biblical reasons and values for something like church membership, where an individual and or a family says, we are committing ourselves to this group of people. So what are those biblical values? Why do we do church membership?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's we wrestled with that when we planted HCC 13 years ago. Like, do you have a membership class? Like, what's the function? What's the form of that look like? If you do, why?
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't find a biblical example of where people joined a church, so to speak,
yeah.
aside from every one of these letters is written to the church in Corinth,
yeah.
Ephesus. There was only one. So if you were a follower of Jesus, you were a part of that family. You were a member of a church.
Yeah.
So we started drilling down and go, hey, what did the people in Ephesus or Corinth or wherever, what did they do? What made them unique as they walked the streets and lived in their city together? And Paul's writing to them to give them these encouragements, to help them through these journeys. And, you know, we just started having things come up like, man, hey, you know what? If we get an opportunity to unite together and to send a united message of the gospel to the world when we join together. It's not a fragmented message anymore. When I put on a shirt that says, I'm a member of Team Jesus, you know, in our city, there's over 2,000 churches. I think God probably laughs. He looks down. He's like, hey, if that helps y'all, whatever.
Yeah.
I just have one church in San Antonio, by the way, and I'm God, and it's all mine. But but when you decide to join one, we join Team Jesus. And then that body of Christ in our city, we ought to have a united voice and a united portrait of what the gospel looks like as it lines up with those 66 letters that he's given us.
Yeah, it's that priestly prayer of Jesus, Lord, may they be one
yes.
as you and I are one. And so one of the values is really unity of mind, that kingdom-mindedness that we say, yeah, that's what I'm a part of.
And when you join, right? I know in your church, I'm pretty sure, because I'm a recovering Baptist. You know, I went to Baptist seminary and did all Baptist churches
That's
until
right.
my last two spots. But in our church, in order to join, you have to be a follower of Jesus. You have to yeah. exchange your life with the life, death, and resurrection of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to be baptized.
Yeah.
If you haven't been baptized, then we'll baptize you right there and baptize you into not only, you know, as a public proclamation of what God's done in your heart, but as a part of joining this body and putting this yeah. uniform on along the way. And when you do that, we now invite one another, because of the unified portrait of the gospel, to also speak life and love and truth into one another's lives as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you saw me, you know, doing something that was out of line as my relationship as a married man, like, because I have joined this team, you have a right as a teammate to say, hey, bro, tell me what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah.
In love.
That's right.
Like,
gently.
Not with a rod in your hand, but because you love me and because we're a part of the team.
We've committed to one another.
And we want to have a unified portrait of the gospel. And if I'm over here in whatever circle, call it looking at pornography, call it talking to a woman that I shouldn't be talking to. Maybe nothing has even physically happened, but just the conversation is already out of line.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm at lunch with a woman and you walk in and see me, like, you have the right to pick up the phone and call Rita.
What's going on?
And she, you walk up and say, and you know what Rita's going to tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was sitting with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And they were having this meeting because he told me he was headed there
yeah.
to, ahead of time, right? Like those checks and balances, because what we want is a unified portrait of the gospel.
Yeah.
And when we join together as a member, just like if we join a country club, there's a set of expectations in the country club.
Yeah.
We'll do these things, we won't do these things.
Yeah.
Being a part of the body of Christ, we just line up with those 66 letters.
Absolutely.
And it gives us a unified voice and a unified portrait to not only experience for ourselves, but so that this world that God has called us to be a lamppost into might be drawn towards him. Not pushed away because your interpretation of truth and my interpretation of truth aren't the same. Well, let's come together and figure out where it's unified in the middle.
Yeah.
And let's make sure that we can all stand on black and white
yeah.
in that scripture. So for us, that was a compelling enough reason to say, hey, we're going to offer a membership class. I don't find it in the scripture that way, aside from, hey, you know what? There is a calling to have a unified voice, to be one together. Mm-hmm. We've discovered that, man, when you join a body and you kind of throw your hat into the ring and you answer the bell, then there's also some amazing things that my own life gets to reap as a result of that, in terms of those relationships and places to serve and ways to live out the gifts that God's given me, and I don't serve people to feel good about it. That's the byproduct of Christ in me. And as we suit up together, we've discovered, man, you know what, Ken and Rita, we might not could drill 5 wells this year in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
But because we belong to a larger body, bigger than ourselves, then as we worship together in generosity in the Hicks house and every other house in our church, and we steward those resources, we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
And the body of Christ is going to put 5 wells in Uganda.
Yeah.
And there's going to be 5 villages that have living water and a church planted in them for the next 50 years as a result of the combined stewardship that the Hicks house could not do on our own.
Yeah.
And so some really cool things happen when we choose to do what culture's not very good at right now.
Yeah.
And that is say, you know what? Sign me up.
Yep.
I'm taking my hat off. I'm jumping all in. Let me go figure it out. And we're not going to be perfect at it.
No, that's not true.
It's going to have ebbs and flows. There's going to be seasons and margin where life is different and time is different. But man, we have experienced so many powerful things because we were a member of a group, and people counted on us in their season. And just like my wife and I are experiencing right now, we are getting loved by his bride and by our team as we're walking through one of our own difficult seasons.
Yeah.
That if we weren't a part of a body like that, it's not coworkers doing that.
Yeah.
It's those people in our community group.
Yeah. So the things I've heard you say, several things here, but one of the things that I think is a challenge for us, going back to kind of this consumer culture that we have to get over, is just thinking about the self, right? And recognizing that the church is more than just a group of people gathering in one space, or individuals gathering in one space, that there's a needed connectedness, mm-hmm. right? That we need one another. And so one of the things you talked about was this accountability, that when one of the great biblical values of being a part of a church family is that you give permission. Hey, like you said, Ken, you can come alongside me and gently get me back on track. And that's huge. And to be able to convey that it's not just about you walking in and you walking out. It's about you being family. And being family means having moments of accountability that can lead to greater spiritual growth and fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the things I would want to say, that God intends for us to commit ourselves to one another, so that we can grow up in Jesus together. I mean, that's the picture that Paul paints in Ephesians 4, right?
And in today's world, I mean, I guess the part I would add to that is you're not even offended if I ask.
No.
Right? Like in today's world where everybody gets offended so quickly.
Yeah.
Right? If you walk up and introduce yourself to me and I'm sitting at lunch with a client or someone and it's a female and you introduce yourself, say hello to her, and then you look at me and go, hey, I'm just checking. Is Rita know you're here? Like with her sitting right there.
Yeah.
Like I'm not offended by that ask.
Yeah. I would hope not, right?
Right.
But I mean, it's still. Yeah.
As a member of the body, I understand the blessing of the body.
Yeah.
And so now I'm not offended at the ask.
Yeah.
And you're not offended at my response that says, absolutely, bro. Here's my text message to her, and she knows that this is who I'm sitting with.
That's right. But you know, I'll be honest, we haven't made that clear, I don't think, in First Baptist. Like, that's not an expectation. We have clearly set that when you join this family, you're joining a family that's going to hold each other accountable. And when we become a part of this, we're saying, hey, it's okay. Ask me the tough questions. Help me.
Which is kind of a double-edged sword.
That's right.
Because we're saying it's a blessing, but part of the reason some people are choosing not to join, which is why we're saying there's less members, is because they don't want to.
Don't be a part of my life.
That's right. I don't want anybody calling me if I'm not there. I don't want anybody hassling me to get into a small group. I don't want anybody sending me a set of offering envelopes in the mail, hoping I'm going to put one of them in the offering box this weekend. So we'll show up when it works. You know, and so it is a double-edged sword that it's been one of the greatest experiences in my life, but I also understand that it is one of those that keeps some people away.
And that's why we have to be clear with compelling biblical values, because people have to make that hurdle if they're going to say, okay, this is what I'm a part of. And for so long, I think membership in most legacy churches has been completely watered down anyway, because we're not talking about it. We're not talking about it. We're not talking about these values. People are joining and they just become these members that come in and out when they want to, you know, that aren't really bought into what it means to be church family. So that we've got to rethink what it means to be a church member, just as leadership, and not just First Baptist, but I think across the board in many ways, and speak those things.
Hot takes.
When fixing a bowl of cereal.
Oh my goodness.
Does the milk go in first or after you pour the cereal? And if it goes in after, in what way do you pour the milk in? What's the proper way to fix a bowl of cereal?
I'm really feeling like this is a metaphor for something. I don't know what it is, but there's something deeper here than a cereal question. I mean, listen, one, I don't eat cereal that often, Ken. I don't eat cereal that often because I'm super healthy, as you can tell. That's not true. But I think if you put the milk in first, then you pour the cereal, then it just kind of all floats to the top, and it's harder. So I always, when I do eat cereal, I put cereal in first, then add milk.
And we live in San Antonio, so if you're going to eat cereal, it has to be in a taco. Now, I haven't figured out how to do that, right? So if we're going to have cereal in a bowl, I am not a fan of soggy cereal. So it would absolutely be cereal in the bowl. And then I actually take the milk in a cup and just put a little bit of milk at a time. Because again, I just I don't like soggy cereal. So I'll go enough milk to make it work. But you know, if I need to add a little more, I can. But I'm always going to go less rather than more, and then just have the rest of the cup of milk there to...
I've never heard this, so it's like milk as needed.
Milk as needed, not a soggy cereal guy.
I'm impressed. Well, there you go. There you have your answer. His is far more thoughtful than mine.
So let me keep chasing the illustration I've been using with the woman here. Right? Yeah. And I'm using that one because it's something we see out there all over.
Yeah.
Right? You come up and ask me, and I respond... What is the value then? If I'm a member, if we're trying to sell this idea, hey, this set of accountability is a good thing, from your lens, what would you say is the good? What is the blessing about having that accountability? Like, what's better for Ken because Ken had Danny bump into him and was willing to engage in that process?
I would say fulfilling, you know, God's purpose and design for Ken as well as his church, right? To look more and more like Jesus from Romans chapter 8, and also fulfill God's mission for his church, right? I would say that's the value. That if we just come as individuals but not really connected to one another, we're less likely to grow up in Jesus. We're less likely to look more like Jesus, and we're far less likely to be a part of what he's doing.
No doubt. Yeah. And I would say there's value in my marriage.
Yes.
In knowing that as I walk around in the public realm, I've got brothers who know my name because I've signed up.
Yes.
Because I show up for off season and work out and we get to know each other and we live life and we know each other by name. So there's benefit that you walked across the restaurant, called me by name. My marriage is stronger because I know that there's an accountability. It got stronger because I actually lived it out that one particular time mm-hmm. and could show you
yeah.
I had done it the right way.
Yeah.
Like, woohoo, that doesn't happen very often. Yeah. But there was success there. And think about what that portrait looks like to the person sitting on the other side of that chair.
Yeah.
Who we don't know where they are because yeah. we've yet to identify who that person is.
Yeah.
Like that person just got a portrait of Jesus and they could be lost as a goose and just the byproduct of the fact you and I are members together
yeah.
in a body.
Yeah.
You know, like there's huge upside.
There's huge upside. And not to mention, obviously, clearly this comes, jumps out of God's word, right? We see accountability. We see very clear accountability in Corinth
oh.
where Paul says, no, you need to let this guy go out of the body.
Right.
And so it's very clearly that Paul thought of Corinth as this bound family of God, group of believers that were knitted together, because he says, no, this guy who's living in immorality, unrepentant immorality, you need to let him go, kick him out of the body so that he might be saved, right?
Right.
Incredible value. The other thing I want to mention that I was thinking about, one of the values for church membership is there's an expectation on us as leaders, right? That we are called to love and serve a particular people, this family God has entrusted to our care, and an expectation for the person, the member, to yield to godly leadership, which I don't think you get from without membership. And so one of the expectations and values that we would give that we need to do better in a gracious way is that when you become a part of a family, you're saying, I'm going to yield myself, submit myself to this body and to this leadership for my good. That doesn't mean that they just believe everything that I say, right?
Because I hope not.
Because right? Jesus is Lord, right? And when that's in conflict with what I say, I hope I get checked too.
Exactly.
But membership says, I'm going to yield to my pastor and trust his leadership. And you don't get that without that type of membership expectation.
No doubt. I mean, we have at HCC, you know, our members are expected to participate in worship gatherings. In other words, show up, right? I mean, using a sports analogy, if we're on the same team, if today's game day,
like, yeah, that's one of ours.
The best ability is availability, right? Like, yeah. are you here today?
Yeah.
You know, did you show up? You know, there's an expectation that you find a community group to get in our church. Like, circles are better
that's
than
right.
rows. So if you have to decide, are you showing up on Sunday or showing up during the week, show up during the week. Like, if you only have one option in those two places, circles are better than rows. You're going to get everything there that you're getting here mm-hmm. in an even better, more rich way. It's going to yeah. look different, you know? And so you need to be in a community group. You need to show up and you need to serve.
Yeah.
You know, and God didn't give us gifts for us to sit around and just get, you know, fat and be happy go lucky and not plug in and sit in the back row. Like,
yeah.
you know, and so for us, our benefit is, you know, we don't have any full time staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we just tell everybody all the time, you know, things only happen around here because we're community owned and operated.
Because people show up together.
They show up
yeah.
and they invest, you know. And so sometimes we create our own nightmare by just hiring everybody to do the jobs.
Yeah.
We think maybe they have to be at such a level
that does communicate,
you know,
things.
And you know, you're not good enough to do that. We got to hire people to do that. And you know, we've actually had to learn that, like, I'm actually okay if Sunday is kind of our least funded experience. Because the people showing up on Sunday should be the collective bodies of membership And we ought to have the greatest tolerance for whatever happens on Sunday of anybody.
That's right.
So if we're going to spend dollars, let's spend dollars to help your living room get better. Let's spend dollars to help lost people hear about Jesus. And this thing that we're called to experience, never forsake the gathering, but it's the most unreproducible thing we do in the life of the church. And yet so often we spend so much of our time, energy, and money around that 1 hour.
All right, Ken, we could spend a whole several segments talking about that alone. I mean, especially for a church like this, that we do invest a lot in what we do on Sunday. And man, that's a paradigm shift for a lot of churches, but I think necessary to think through. So we do something similar, and we're going to wrap up here in a second. We share the same expectations that when you become a member, you're committing to gathering for worship together. You're committing to ongoing discipleship in a small group or a Bible study. You're committed to giving together to maximize our resources as a church family, time, whatever. And you're committing to being on mission with us. So very, very, very similar. And we've got to do that better in both big and small ways. But lastly, I wanted to share before we wrap up, I think it's very intriguing that one of the fastest growing movements in our culture follows a very similar paradigm, and that's the CrossFit movement. Have you thought about this? That when you become a member of a CrossFit, you commit yourself to a community. That's their biggest selling. You're committing yourself to a community.
Right.
You're committing yourself to accountability. You're committing yourself to encouragement. You can't get better without each other rallying around each other. And it's like, they're just exploded all over the country. And I'm like, how can they do that so well? And why do we struggle so much in our church? But I find that intriguing that they're still a part of our culture. And maybe it speaks to our design and need that people are flocking in some ways to communities like that, where that kind of paradigm exists.
Yeah, you know, I think when I think of, I mean, I haven't thought of it in that lens, but I think ultimately the simple answer to that is people that experience that community in CrossFit get healthier.
They get healthier.
So it sells.
That's right.
So, you know, the route for us as the church would be,
I love that.
Hey, if they need the same community, they're paying for it there. We're asking them to worship in generosity with us.
That's
here.
That's right.
To be a part of a bigger mission.
Yeah.
But is their life being transformed? Are they as healthy? Is there a significant health change for them as a part of our community like there is when they're a part of the CrossFit community? And if the answer to that is no, then that's on us as leaders.
That's on us.
That's it.
On us. We got to get better. And so I think Ken and I both would say the greatest value to biblical membership in a part of a church is you're going to get healthier and you're going to be a part of something far bigger than yourself. So we ask every single guest for a resource. Can be anything, book, app, online resource, whatever that has been valuable for them in their life. Go.
Man, that's a hard question. I wrote several down. From a preaching perspective, I loved Andy Stanley's book, Communicating for Change, because it really just resonated with this question. Do I care more about what I'm preaching on Sunday or what people are doing on Monday?
Ooh.
And so it's an entire book about trying to rethink how we teach and what that looks like and how that's being impacted on Monday. Our community groups and discipleship group rhythm that we've created with the guys at Crossbridge and some other folks on how to be non-leader centric has kind of been life-changing in the life of our church. So none of our community groups are driven around one leader. So every one of them are non-leader centric and they can be multiplied at any time. We couldn't find them, so we just sat down with some of us and just began to do that. And then the discipleship stuff that you've been a part of came out of those community group conversations where we got to the called, which just gives people a frame for how can I make a disciple? Who can make a disciple? Who can make a disciple? So those are a couple big resources for us. Got tons of leadership stuff and classics, C.S. Lewis and Dallas Willard, all that kind of stuff. But there's a couple for you.
Yeah, and the good thing is there are so many awesome resources out there to nurture your spiritual growth and to be a part of what God is doing. So thanks for sharing those, Ken.
Absolutely.
And I'm grateful for our time together, Ken.
Me too.
We ought to do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Do this again. But may you be encouraged as you're thinking about what it means to be better
together, and you might be even on the fence of, should I be a member of a part of a church? We would say, absolutely. You'll be better for it, more fruitful, and be a part of what God is doing. Thanks for joining us today.